Amen. Lord, I want to ask your blessing upon our meeting today. Lord, we want to commit the word into the hands of your Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful work that you have done here in the Philippines. Work that our eyes have had the privilege of seeing in the last 10 years. And we want to, Lord, commit this day to you. We thank you for our good brother Edmar. His good wife, Sister Madeline. And Lord, we do ask a continuing blessing upon their life as they labor. Even as they labor in the difficulties of their life that they face every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And let us see what the Spirit has to say today. Now, Matthew 24 is the end time preaching of Jesus Christ. He is telling of things that are coming to pass. These messages have been preached now for nearly 2,000 years. From the days of Peter and John and Paul, we have been looking forward to the day of the coming again of Jesus Christ. And for many years they have been saying the day of the Lord is very near at hand. Were they wrong? Would I be wrong 1,000 years ago to say the day of the Lord is very near? No, I would not be wrong. If I said, is he coming today? Then I would be wrong. But I must continue to say, it is very near. Because if I say, it is far away, then I will begin to fall asleep. Then I will begin to be with the drunken. And I will begin to quarrel with my fellow servants. And I will no longer be fit to be a son of God. So the Father does not tell us what day. But He tells us, always watch, always pray, you do not know. Now in this passage in Matthew 24, He gives many signs that will follow. Many signs that point to the day of His coming. He says there will be much deception. False prophets, false teachers, false preachers. False religion. The world is full of religion, isn't it? Religion is causing much trouble in the Philippines. Threatening to kill people. But it's not the kingdom of God. He says that there will be wars. Nations will fight against nations. From the day I was born, I do not believe there has ever been a complete day of peace in the world where men have not been fighting. Much wars. Much rumors of wars. Famine, pestilence. What did I see on the news? The people of Sudan, is it? Are starving. No food. I believe it's Sudan. Maybe it's Somalia. It's in that area. No food. Much war. Earthquakes. Last June, my wife was here with me. We were sitting in the little pizza place in downtown Butuan. The floor, the walls, the lights. Earthquake. Rita had never been in an earthquake before. Yeah. Now, I'm saying all this to bring you to this one verse. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Who has a Cebuano Bible? Read that verse so he can translate it from your Cebuano Bible. I want to see what that verse says. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Just verse 8. Yeah. Okay, now tell me, translate to me in English now. What was that word sorrow that he said? Okay. I found out that the real meaning of that word is birth pangs. Do you women know what I mean? I mean the older women who are mothers. You know very recently.
Okay. Sakit juga yo.
Birth pangs are not pleasant.
Karena nama pembicaraan tadi tidak senyum.
They come slowly. One. An hour later. Couple hours later. But they come more and stronger and stronger. And then they become very strong. Now, I have never had them, and I never will. But the older women that I know, who are mothers, and I'm also a nurse, so I know what this is. So these sorrows come stronger and stronger and more intense. But they come to an end when they bring forth a child. Now let me take you to a verse in John. John chapter 16. And Jesus is talking about the same thing here. And he says, he tells them that he is going to be leaving them. He's going to leave his disciples. Three and a half years, he was with them, he comforted them, he taught them the Word of God, he taught them the kingdom. And now he says, I'm going to leave you. So, let me read in verse 20. John 16, verse 20. Let me read in English first. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Just that one verse, verse 20. John 16, 20.
Thank you.
saying here that you're going to be sad, you're going to be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn to joy. Okay, one more verse. He says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, but her hour is come, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, sister, it is fresh in your mind. I see a brand new baby. 2 months? 3 months? One. Only 1 month. Do you remember your sorrow? Not very much.
Not much.
Because I see a big smile. I see happy. I see a happy father. Was it worth all the pain and sorrow? Yes. Yes, amen. All right, now Jesus is making a point here. He's talking to us and saying that in this world you shall have tribulation. How many of you know what tribulation is in your life? Sister Helen got up here before the meeting. How long ago was it when your husband died? A year, 2 years? 1 year and 4 months. There was a time when you were in much sorrow. How many little children? Five? 6 little children. One very small child.
Yeah.
And now she's a widow. And we know that God says to the church, you must take care of the widows and the orphans. And I believe that it was a very sad time for you. But she's getting up and she's rejoicing. And she's saying that God is very good. Is there anybody here that does not have any tribulation in your life? I'm looking for hands. I don't see any. Be Because if you raise your hand and say you have no trouble in your life, I'm going to tell you, you are in trouble with God. One day I asked the Lord to take away all my trouble. He didn't change anything in my life. But he took away all the fire. And before 1 week, I told the Lord, turn the fire on again. Because I'm never going to be finished unless you turn the fire on. So the Lord is talking about sorrow. Let me go back to the third chapter of Genesis. And we come a little bit here to the story of Adam and Eve. Now, we know what happened to Eve in the garden. She got deceived. She was tricked. And the deceiver was, of course, the devil. Now, when we need to understand the type, when we see a woman in type in the Bible, what does that mean? It means the church. So, is Eve the first picture of the church? And the very first woman is already in trouble. She and her husband brought sin into the world. So, what is God's plan to help us so that we will overcome sin? Well, of course, we know that He is going to send His Son. And by His death and by His blood, we will have forgiveness. So even though we have forgiveness through Jesus Christ, there's still something that has to come forth in me to overcome. So, let me find the verse here in chapter 3. And he said here in, I believe, verse 15. Let's read in verse 15, and then we'll read a little more, and 16. Let me read in English first. That I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy It shall bruise thy head, that's the seed of the woman, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay, go ahead with that verse. 15. Okay, this is a prophecy that was given to Eve that said Jesus was coming of the seed of the woman, okay, and he would bruise the head of Satan, the serpent. Many women desired to be the one who would bring forth that son who would bruise the head of the serpent. But you see, the prophecy given to Mary was that she would also experience sorrow. Alright, now let's read the next verse here. It says, Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
16.
So this is also a message to the church. The church also must bring forth. The woman church must bring forth not only a man child Jesus, but a man child church. And she's going to bring forth this church in travail. You know, brethren, I have been studying tribulation. I have been studying people who died because of their faith. I have had a book, someone gave it to me 15 or 20 years ago. It's a great book. It's a book this thick, 3 inches. It has more than 1,000 pages. And the name of the book is called Martyr's Mirror. Now, it was was a man from Holland. He was a minister of the gospel. He wrote the book, and he finished the book in the year of 1620. No, it was 1660. And most of what I read was about 500 years ago. The government of these lands in Europe were one with the Roman Catholic Church. And it was against the law for anyone not to be a member of the Roman Catholic Church. So, the government, if they found out that you were believing something different than what the priests were teaching, they send out men to come to your home and arrest you. They would break the doors, break the window, and take you and put you in a prison. And they would torment them, torture them. They would put them on a rack and stretch. Hang them up by their hands. Tie something heavy to their feet. Beat them. Men, women, take their clothes off while they torture them. Sometimes they would lock them in a dungeon, feed them only a little bread, a little water for a year, year and a half, 2 years. The biggest sin is that they would not have their children baptized. And they would, anyone who had been baptized as a child, they would re-baptize them on their confession of faith. I'm only telling you a little bit. This happened back, the Roman government, way back about 200 years after, 100 years after Jesus. The Roman Empire was also doing this thing to the Christian people. This went on for thousands of years. What do you think happened to the church during that time of sorrow, tribulation? What do you think happened to the church? Do you know what? The church was growing so fast. People were coming to Jesus. They couldn't meet openly on Sunday. They would meet at night in the forest. They would hide in a barn and meet in a barn some other day. But the life of Jesus was so strong that people were coming and saying, "How can I join you? Can I be part of you?" And they would say, "Yes, but you know what will happen if the government catches you." They'll tie you to a stake and they'll burn you. If they're merciful, they'll cut your head off. Yes, yes, I want to come. I need to be part of this church. One executor, his job was to kill people. He said, "People are coming so fast, I can't kill them fast enough." One day, a new prince, a new king, came to this one country, and he said, "No more, no more." Do you know what happened to that church? Never heard much more about them. They just settled into normal church. Now they're just like any other church down the road. They have a sign out in front, you know. Now they have a pastor, they have a Sunday school. They can sing loudly, it doesn't matter if the government hears. No life. Jesus said, I'll say Jesus. Jesus said to Eve, "You're going to conceive and bring forth in sorrow." Without birth pangs, a woman cannot bring forth a man child. What is the point? What are we to bring forth? I want to go over to Revelation chapter 12. Did we go from one end of the Bible to the other?
Mana
We go from Eve to another woman. So here is chapter 12. I'll read in English first. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars." I'm trying to make a woman here. I'm not very good at this. Does it look like a woman? Not yet. In other words, don't give up your regular job to become an artist. But look, I put a smile on her face. Okay, so this woman, what does it say here? It says there was a woman clothed with the sun. Oh, I gotta make. What color is the sun? Red? I mean, she's clothed with the sun. Bright glory. And well, I'll make another. And there was a moon under her feet. And she had a crown of 12 stars. And I got to put a few more here. 11, 12. Okay. That doesn't look like a crown, does it? So what does 12 mean? Divine order of government. Okay, so she's destined to rule and reign with Christ. I know that isn't a very good picture, but I have to show 12 stars. How many sons of Jacob? 12. Amen. People, 12 tribes, chosen of God. How many apostles were there? 12. One of them proved to be unfaithful. Did God find another one to take his place? I believe Paul was the other one to take his place. Paul. So there are 12 now. See, this is, these are representing Jesus Christ now. Divine order of spiritual government. See, now this is not something that man can appoint. Man cannot say, well, I'm going to have 12 bishops or 12 pastors. No, it's something God has to do. Not so much the natural number that we're looking at, but we're looking at the spiritual principle here. So this woman, it says she's under her feet is something else. What is that? And what is the Bible meaning of moon? Church. So we know that moon is church because Joseph had a dream. Well, he had two dreams. But he had a dream of the 12 stars. And the sun and the moon. And Jacob interpreted his dream and said, the moon is your mother, and I am the sun, and we will bow to you also. So you said the woman is a church. Let me write this down here. Woman is church. And you said this is also a church. So what is this? We have two churches. We have a church and we have a church. What kind of church is this? You see, this church has come up on top of this church. So this is an old order of church, and this is a new order of church. Now remember, the churches, and I know it, especially the Catholic Church, says, oh, this is a picture of Mary, and she's going to bring forth Jesus the Son. But you go to the beginning of Revelation, and the angel said to John, he said it twice. He said, I'm going to show you things that must come to pass shortly. So, Mary bringing forth Jesus, that had already happened when the angel said this to John. That was in the past. Okay, so what is the difference, first of all, between these two churches? Okay, the moon, it's a true church, it's a church. It's not a harlot church, but it's a church. This is spiritual now. We're seeing this in heaven. Heaven, it means a place of the Spirit. So this church is on a lower level. And this church is covered by the glory of God. She has a crown. She's destined for ruling and reigning. Where else did we find two churches that were different? The parable of 10 virgins. Five of them did not have enough oil of the Holy Spirit. The other five had oil of the Holy Spirit in their soul and the Spirit. So the foolish church could not go in to the wedding. How are they going to buy the oil? They have to go to those who sell oil, who is Jesus Christ. So in other words, they went out in the darkness of tribulation. You see, that was a woman who avoided tribulation. prosperity message. They followed the prosperity preachers. No pain, no trouble, just more money. Yeah. In other words, they had to buy through tribulation. When they asked the wise, "Give us your oil," they said, "We can't." How did the wise woman buy her oil? What did she pay for her oil? She paid in her pain and tribulation. You know, I may be wrong, but I did not learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit until I was in great tribulation. So I believe if the Lord loves you, He's going to put you in tribulation. Okay, and so we're talking about the five virgin church. She went in to the wedding. She's the bride of Christ now. So she now becomes one with Christ. She's joined together, one with Christ. So what happens now? A young bride comes in to her wedding with a young husband. They are joined together. And what can happen now? Now she's with child. Okay, I'm not going to be very good at this. Well, I know. They're all curled up. So she's with child. This woman now is with child. Let me read the next verse here. It says, "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." She is with child, and she is with pain. The sorrows of birth have come to her. But now it looks like there's another church. Another church.
Okay. Lain simbahan.
And this church is, it looks like it's a different church. This is not a woman church anymore. This is man-child church. What is the difference between woman church and this new church? The church that we have known today can only bring forth if she receives the seed of the Word of God, Jesus Christ. So I'm preaching today a new kind of church. I'm preaching to a church that is going to bring forth something new. This is a man-child now. When you are joined together with the head, who is the head? So when the head is joined to our church, we become a new man in Christ. Now this hasn't happened yet. This is still prophetic. But if you're part of this church that is in travail, I'm not a woman, but I'm part of this church. I'm with the church in travail. I'm with the church that is crying and saying, "Oh Lord God, how long?" Oh Lord, how long will you deliver this old man of flesh? Oh Lord, how long will it be till I can see thy salvation? Oh Lord, how long till I can see your kingdom in this terrible earth? You know, in the book of Ezekiel, it says that those who are sealed, who will not be destroyed, are those who sigh and cry for the abominations of the church. Oh God, how long till you can deliver this moon church? How long will it be till men and women begin to call out and cry for Jesus Christ? How long will it be till the children stop? playing in the street and calling to one another. So we see, I can hardly read a couple verses from chapter 12 without giving you the whole chapter, but I would be here till 5 o'clock. You see, the devil knows what's happening in you. The devil is watching. He listens to your testimony and he trembles. If this church can ever bring forth a man child, I will devour it as soon as it's born. But God says, no, you won't. Because I'm going to bring this church immediately to the throne of authority. And I will give her power. I will give him power. So you see, some of this glorious church brings forth, but some of her does not. Some of her is taken into the wilderness, and this child feeds her there for 3.5 years. Let me give you one last verse, and that's going to be in Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 3. Let me start in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, so we don't know, but it's coming like a thief. Generally, the thief does not tell you when he's going to come. If you have something precious, you keep your door locked. Because the day that you don't keep it locked is the day that the thief comes. And the next verse says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, okay, no, we never, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Kaysa lihat na sila magingon kalinaw o kaluwatan gikan sa kadaot unya ang kalit nga kalaglaga nagaabot nga na sa nila ingon sa pagbati sa usa ka babae nga nagsabak og sila dili makaigya.
So again, Paul is making comparison to a woman with travail. He said that the comparison here is she's sleeping quietly and peacefully in her bed. She knows that the day of his appearing is coming someday. But she also knows that she is great with child. But you see, this is different than the natural. In the natural, you can mark the day and you say, well, it's 9 months from, you know. Yeah, but this is one that you cannot mark on the calendar. This is one that you always watch. It could happen any time. It's been 9 months. It's been 9 years. It's been 900 years. And when this day of the Lord comes, great destruction comes with it. Jesus said in Matthew 24, this is the beginning of sorrows. And he said, this one is coming very suddenly, very quickly, very unexpected. Here's the woman that's laying in her bed quietly sleeping. The woman church. Suddenly, at midnight. Oh, it's come. I hope she was ready. because the outer court and the world is not ready. And the word says it will be sudden destruction and they will not escape. But God has made a place of escape for His chosen one. And the whole Bible is telling about that way and that place of escape for you. Because you are not sleeping as others sleep. You are not drunken on doctrines of deception. That will lie to you and give you false security. No. You are ready to rise up with Christ. And you can see from the signs that midnight is coming very, very close. We will be ready, Lord. When the cry is made at the midnight hour, God bless you.